part of flyover country. This is Spin Sold Separately.
I wonder if anyone else has a playlist that can seamlessly transition from Master of Puppets by Metallica to Operator by Jim Croce. Oh, those were played back to back on my way home from work on my Spotify playlist. I have a wide range of musical tastes, needless to say. How you doing, everybody? Welcome back to Spin Sold Separately. I am JD. I am sorry it took an extra day or two to get back to the old microphone here. We had a nice impromptu family movie night a couple nights ago. My daughter absolutely loves the movie Twisters, and my wife and I have always loved the original Twister, because that's more from our era. Rest in peace, Bill Paxton. But it was very nice. It was just kind of came out of nowhere, just came organically out of the night. All of a sudden, there's my daughter on our new couch and saying, "Hey, why don't you come over?" I was just getting some notes ready for this episode here. And she says, "Hey, have you seen Twisters yet?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Well, I'm going to watch it in here." She had bought it, I guess, on one of those movie services, so she can play it anytime she wants. And she said, "Why don't you come in here and watch it with us?" So we did. We sat down and watched Twisters together, and it was great. It was great. My goal one day in a future life is to come back as cool as Glenn Powell. I think he must be this generation's Brad Pitt or something like that. I mean, I can definitely see the resemblance, but what a cool character that guy is. It was a good movie. If you haven't seen Twisters yet, I would recommend it. Of course, I am still partial to the original, but nothing wrong with this one. And my daughter has seen it no fewer than probably 12 times by now. Absolutely loves it, and I can see why. It was entertaining. I've always been fascinated by weather and tornadoes, hurricanes, all that kind of stuff, and we'll probably get into some of that stuff on this very podcast at some point here once we clear the political fence. The news just keeps coming, though. It's not going to go away anytime soon. I mean, we are supposed to be kind of in the downtime between the election and the inauguration, but it is anything but. And we are going to get right into it here because I have got all kinds of good stuff for you here today. A couple of updates on some previous stories we've talked about. I said I'd get back to you on a few names, such as Megyn Kelly's election guru on her election night special. His name was Henry Olson, the guy with the headset that was digesting the data and giving us his thoughts on it in the moment. His name is Henry Olson, senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. And he was fantastic that night. I also referenced CNN's election guru. His name is John King. I knew that. I should have been able to come up with that one. But John King is the election guru on CNN. And I said I'd get back to you on who said people don't become less religious. They just worship different gods. Apparently that was me. Because I can't find a single attributable quote anywhere, anything close to that. I can't find an attribution to that anywhere. So apparently it was me that said that. Obviously, I've heard it talked about in other circles, but I do subscribe to that theory that people don't become less religious. They just worship different gods. Just because you don't go to church or you've disowned organized religion doesn't mean you don't worship something. Whether it's yourself, your politicians, you can worship things. You can worship sex. You can worship almost anything. Because I do believe that human beings have a spiritual need to aspire to something bigger than themselves. I talked about that on my last show. I really do believe that. I believe that there is a space in the human soul, the human spirit, for that. And if it's not filled by something wholesome, like an organized religion, it is going to fill itself with something else that is probably not as pure, not as desirable, and not as healthy for you as a person. So, my opinion, that's been talked about. If I do find the actual person that came up with that idea, I will pass that on. But for now, we're going to say that was JD, because I can't find that quote attributed to anyone. Holy cow, have we got some interesting stuff going on in this Pennsylvania Senate election. remember I said to let's let the process play out in this battle between Bob Casey and David McCormick, where Casey is not willing to concede, even though this race was called quite a while ago. The courts did get involved, and the Pennsylvania Supreme Court has ordered counties to stop counting improperly marked ballots, such as those without proper signatures, dates, or postmarks. Well, that didn't stop Bucks County Commissioner Diane Ellis Marseglia, if I said that right. She's all over the internet right now. If you want the proper pronunciation, I'm sure it's out there. I'm guessing I got pretty close. As if we needed any more proof that a lot of these people in a lot of these powerful positions do not have the best interest of the country at heart, I'm going to play you a little clip that is going all over the internet of Diane Ellis Marseglia and what she thinks of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court's decision.
We reject all three categories of these ballots.
Your motion is to reject or dismiss the challenges in this category in front of you?
Correct, yep.
Not going to second that, mostly because I think we all know that precedent by a court doesn't matter anymore in this country, and people violate laws anytime they want. So for me, if I violate this law, it's because I want a court to pay attention to it.
She said that with all of the head waving and basically snap, 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 my bleep don't stink affect that you would imagine. This is the person in charge of the elections in Bucks County. She is one of the three county commissioners. Now, the other voice you heard, I do not know this man's name, but he is one of the other three who said he was filing a notion to not count the improperly marked ballots. When he said these three types, he was referring to those without proper signatures, without proper dates, or without proper postmarks, all of which are explicitly detailed in Pennsylvania election laws. Well, Diane Ellis Marseglia didn't care about Pennsylvania's election laws or what the Pennsylvania Supreme Court had to say about these ballots that were not properly marked. That's why they're marked as provisional, and then they need to be verified. And if they do not pass the test, they are not counted. Well, she didn't particularly care for that, and she decided to go off on this obviously directed at the U.S. Supreme Court little rant of her own. The hubris of this woman to sit up there with two other equally powerful, you know, there's three people on this board and they run the elections in this county. They are all equally powerful in the eyes of this particular board. And she basically looked at everyone in that room and said, I don't care what the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said. People break laws all the time. Just look at our president. Just look at the precedent doesn't matter anymore in our courts. Just look at what the Supreme Court did to Roe v. Wade. You know that's what's going on in her head. As she's going off on that just hate-fueled rant, you know she's thinking of those two things. To hell with whatever the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said. I'm here to make a point. I'm going to ask you again, who's the real threat to democracy? This woman is up there saying, I don't give a rat's you-know-what about what the Supreme Court just said. I'm going to count these votes because I think they should be counted. To hell with the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. She's openly flaunting a court order and counting votes that were deemed to be illegal simply to gain her desired end. Here's what she said a day later when this obviously went viral and even people on her side of the political aisle weren't necessarily rushing to her defense.
We all say things that are out of turn. We all make mistakes. I made a mistake. And because I am an elected official, I am held to a far higher standard than everybody else.
Even in that feigned apology, she can't hide her baseless elitism. Well, as an elected official, I'm held to a far higher standard than everybody else. She said she was misinterpreted. That was her response. This person needs to resign. And people around the country need to stop electing people like this to positions of power. Even the day after, as she is swimming in negative publicity, she still couldn't find her way out of her little elitist bubble that she has convinced herself she resides in. Oh, well, you common folk aren't held to the same high standards that we elected officials are. I'm held to a, quote, far higher standard, as if those of us that aren't in elected positions aren't held to a standard of the truth and following court orders and obeying the law. Unbelievable. The arrogance of these people knows absolutely no bounds. Anyhow, the recount is underway, and we will have to await those results. Like I said, they're going to take several days, and now there are all kinds of eyes on this race with all of this publicity, and now knowing that there is somebody buried deep within a very important county in Pennsylvania that obviously does not feel like following election laws is all that important if it leads to her desired end. And I would find it very hard to believe that she's alone. There are people like this all over the country, in positions of power, on county boards, on election boards, on city councils, sitting in city halls, that have these exact same feelings. They feel like they are the superiors, both morally and intellectually. The court obviously made the right call. I have faith in the process. The court made the right decision, not counting ballots that people did not fill out properly. That's on the voter. We are not obligated to fix your mistakes. Voting is not hard. There are simple instructions you need to follow, and if you do not follow them, your vote will not be counted. I have faith in the process. David McCormick will likely remain the winner, even after this recount is finished. But when we talk about the deep state, which a certain percentage of the population rolls their eyes when they hear that term, this is what we're talking about, people. This is the deep state. These people that are multiple layers deep in this bureaucracy that don't feel like laws apply to them, that feel like their desired end trumps all else, and that any means it takes to get there are justified. It's not a conspiracy theory. This stuff is happening all over the country. This woman just got caught because she was dumb enough to say it into a camera during a county board meeting in regards to this specific election that already had a lot of eyes on it. This stuff is happening everywhere. County boardrooms, city councils, in dark, smoke-filled back rooms. And this stuff needs to be ended once and for all. People like this do not belong in positions of power. They belong in jail for undermining our elections and our faith in these institutions and our elections for their own political gain. People don't just wake up one day and decide, you know what? I don't have faith in our elections anymore. It's because of people like this that the trust in our institutions and our elections has eroded to the degree that it has. The Matt Gaetz saga took a wild turn this week. It was going to be a very difficult, if not impassable, road to confirmation for him after he was nominated for Attorney General by President-elect Trump. Gaetz withdrew his name from consideration this week. There was so much noise around this nomination, and he had already resigned his seat in the House of Representatives. I don't really know how this works, and I'm interested to hear how this is going to work. I don't know if he can get it back. I don't know how official this resignation was, how finite that resignation might be. Maybe it's just for this Congress. He did get reelected, so maybe he can pick up where he left off when the next Congress is sworn in. I honestly don't know. What I do know is that the House Intelligence Committee that was investigating the sexual misconduct claims against Matt Gaetz, that report was finished and was going to come out this week. There was some talk out there as to that was the reason why he so abruptly resigned his seat once he was nominated for Attorney General. His resignation meant he was no longer in Congress and that report was no longer required to come out. Now, somebody has it. It's out there. The testimony has been heard and the report's out there somewhere. I don't know if it's sitting in the hands of Speaker Johnson. I don't know where it is. It's going to leak. There is no chance that this is going to stay as quiet as it has. That report is going to leak, and we're going to find out what was found. Now, again, for all the charges and all the lewd conduct that he has been accused of, some of it he's admitted to, you know, things that are not illegal, but definitely not something you'd want going on in your own household. Let's just put it that way. All this stuff is going to come out. It isn't yet released. It doesn't need to be released because he's not currently in Congress, but it will get leaked. There was a replacement nomination made today for Attorney General. Her name is Pam Bondi. She is a former Attorney General for the state of Florida, and I don't know a whole lot about her yet. This literally, I heard about this very late in the day. I haven't had time to really look it up, but I did hear the name and wanted to pass that along to you. So there are the updates on things we have talked about to this point, but now it is time for the moment I know you are all waiting for. I have had people ask me about this. I've had people text me. I've had people message me. Where is this? We're waiting for this. It is time for the Schumer files. I'm going to remind you for at least the third time that Chuck Schumer, the senator from New York, current Senate Majority Leader, soon to be, once again, Senate Minority Leader, is the most dangerous politician that I've ever seen in my lifetime. He has proven time and time again that there is absolutely no depth to which he will not sink. This is one of the slimiest politicians in all of Washington, D.C., in my opinion, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is saying something. I have all kinds of sound bites for you here. I am going to talk very little for this entire segment. I will ease the transition from one soundbite to another. But what you are going to hear for the next several minutes is Chuck Schumer in his own words. For starters, people have been talking for a long time now that, you know, we all need to dial back the rhetoric and that we need to stop assuming the absolute worst in our opponents. We have to stop assuming the worst possible motives. Now let's hear what Chuck Schumer has to say about his Republican colleagues.
Republican tax plan will be full of tricks for the middle class and full of treats for the wealthiest Americans. This theory, churned out by right-wing think tanks, that growth will occur because of these tax cuts is absurd. It's utter self-serving bull.
Well, that's awfully nice. But let's try to be fair. I mean, that was just at a microphone at a press conference. You don't really have time to get into things. Maybe if he had a little more time, like a sit-down interview on The View, he'd be a little more polite.
Fighting this way. What's going to change?
Whoopi. You're 100% right, and it's not just staying the same. It's going to get worse if we don't do something. What's happened is this. Donald Trump spread the big lie that the election was fraudulent. Of course it wasn't. He had no evidence. But state legislatures, only Republicans, very partisan, no Democrats, are now making it harder for people to vote based on that false big lie that the election was fraudulent. But they're not aiming it at everybody. They're aiming it at people of color. They're aiming it at poor people. They're aiming it at students. They're aiming it at the elderly. They're aiming it at disabled. So we have proposed legislation called the Freedom to Vote Act, two pieces, and the John Lewis Restoration Act that would allow the Justice Department to come in, as it has always done when states have taken away the right to vote. You all know what Jim Crow is. And what we've proposed is that the Justice Department could come in and undo these bad laws. Let me tell you a few of them. They want some people, if you want to vote at home, you're disabled, you're elderly, to have to get a notary public to come to your house and pay money to vote. If you're a student in some states, they want to make you register your car in that state and go to the Motor Vehicles Bureau, which could be an hour and a half away. In a city like Milwaukee, what they're trying to do, what they've tried to do, is say there should be only one drop-off voting location, even though it's a city of 1 million people. And they often put this location or in other states where there's no transportation, where there's no parking. So they're deliberately trying to suppress the right to vote. That is vital to America. This is just not another political dispute. This is about what America's all about, the right to vote. You know, when the Constitution was founded, you had to be a white, male, Protestant property owner in most states to vote. We've made progress. We're not going to let them regress. We're fighting to make that happen. And one other point, Whoopi. Voting rights always used to be bipartisan. Ronald Reagan was for voting rights. George H.W. Bush was for voting rights. George W. Bush. But now that Donald Trump has taken over the Republican Party with his big lie that the election was stolen, they're all bowing down in obeisance to him and allowing these despicable things to happen unless we stop them.
Well, that was truthful in every sense of the word. Did you know that Republicans are trying to hide voting drop-off boxes and take voting rights away from people? I didn't either. Like you say, never let the truth get in the way of a good narrative. Well, okay, well, let's forget the Republican colleagues, because obviously we know what he thinks of them. Well, what about the Republican voters?
Because Democrats had a strong agenda here and did things for the American people, we won. And despite the negativity and divisiveness, the threats of violence, and even the violence itself that occurred with MAGA Republicanism dominating the country, the American people stepped back from the precipice and chose progress and getting things done rather than the voices of divisiveness, nastiness, and lack of complete truth and honor.
Truth and honor, you say, huh, Chuck? Yeah, there was nothing divisive about accusing an entire political party of trying to go back to the Jim Crow era and take voting rights away from American citizens. Yes, that is the same person. Mr. Calm, Cool, and Collected, and the American people have spoken, and they want us to back away from all this divisive talk. All you MAGA Republicanisms. I didn't know Republicanism. That's the first time I've ever heard that one. But did you know that MAGA Republicanism dominated the country in all of its violence? I remember a lot of violence in 2020. A whole bunch of it, actually. In cities across the country. Don't recall it having a whole lot to do with MAGA Republicanism, but okay, we know how he feels about the Republican Party. We know how he feels about Republican voters, but that's still too impersonal. It's too easy to chastise the entire Republican Party all at once. Sometimes he likes to get a little more up close and personal. Remember that whole annoying Russia collusion hoax? Apparently Chuck Schumer doesn't.
At every step along the way, the president is kneecapping our allies and offering a helping hand to our adversaries. When it comes to the interference in our 2016 elections, the president has managed to point his finger at just about everybody except the culprit. It's inexplicable. Or maybe it's not. President Trump has blamed Secretary Clinton. He's blamed the DNC. He's blamed the FBI. He said that, quote, both countries are responsible for the state of relations between the United States and Russia. The one person he hasn't blamed is the person he stood shoulder to shoulder with this morning, Vladimir Putin.
I'm sorry, Senator Schumer. I thought it was un-American to question election results. I'm sure he didn't mean that. Let's give him another chance. Come on, Chuck. You don't really mean that, do you?
The saying, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. When it comes to January 6th, we would all do well to heed that advice. But right now, there's an effort on the part of the House Republican leadership to make sure we forget that that fateful day ever happened. Later today, the House will vote on establishing an independent commission to investigate the events of January 6th, a complement to the investigation in the House and Senate committees.
Well, let's give him another chance here. Come on, Chuck. Tell us how you really feel about Donald J. Trump.
All three were granted by House Democrats. Modeled after the bipartisan 9/11 commission, it will have equal representation from both Democrats and Republicans. Subpoenas can only be issued if members from both sides agree. It appeared we had reached a consensus with the support of rank-and-file Republicans. And frankly, I thought the Speaker was being very generous because subpoena power is so important when you look into something. But she did that, and I salute her for it. But even when she went that far, at the 11th hour, the House Republican leadership turned tail, threw its own negotiators under the bus, and decided to try to sabotage the commission. Once again, they are caving to Donald Trump and proving that the Republican Party is still drunk off the big lie. Just 1 week after House Republicans fired Congresswoman Cheney for simply telling the truth about the election, their new leadership is trying to kill a bipartisan investigation, a very down-the-middle bipartisan investigation of the attack on our Capitol. At the root of both efforts is the shameful, shameful desire to protect Donald Trump and perpetuate the big lie, even though it undermines our democracy. Because when people don't believe elections are on the level, that's the beginning of the end of a democracy. What the Republicans are doing, the House Republicans, is beyond crazy to be so far under the thumb of Donald J. Trump, letting the most dishonest president in American history dictate the prerogatives of the Republican Party will be its demise.
You know, I could swear I just heard that same guy questioning the 2016 election. Well, now questioning election results is the end of our democracy? Well, what changed, Chuck? Oh, your desired outcome. You won one of them and you lost the other. Oh, it's almost as if you get your desired result, you don't really care how you got there. But if you don't, oh, it's all fair game. And that's a pretty high bar. The most dishonest president in American history. That's a high bar, Chuck. Did you go back and really dive into every statement ever made by the 46 presidents that we've had to date? I mean, I remember a couple of whoppers by a couple of your favorites. We'll get into those maybe another time. No, but you know, sometimes it takes too much time to demonize Trump and Republicans and his Republican colleagues and House Republicans. It takes too long to do that individually. Sometimes we just like to save time and do it all at once.
Every Democratic member was appalled that they wouldn't even let a debate on whether to have a commission go forward. 4 months. That's how long it took for House and Senate Republican leadership who denounced former President Trump in the aftermath of January 6th. Who said they held him practically and morally responsible. 4 months was all it took for Republican leadership to back down, turn silent, and then thwart an independent investigation into the January 6th attack. So today, the House begins an important task under the only circumstances that congressional Republicans would allow. I have no doubt that House Republicans will engage in efforts to discredit even this, the work of a bipartisan panel of investigators. They'll dredge up the same dreary talking points. They'll call it a witch hunt. They'll call Republicans who participate Pelosi Republicans. They will cheapen the public discourse even more than it's already been cheapened and do their level best to sow distrust about any account of what happened on January the 6th. For what? Fear of Donald Trump? The belief that their political viability hinges on whitewashing an attempted coup? Who knows? But let the record reflect that the House will proceed with this important investigation, and it will be done by members from both parties, and that it will get at the truth.
Can we get this guy a mute button or something? I mean, Senator, do you mind not clearing your throat directly into the microphone? I mean, how many times can we hear in the middle of what is supposed to be serious Senate speeches before we just can't really listen anymore? Can you turn your head? Do you have to do it right into the microphone? It's a large room. Can you just turn around to clear your throat? For goodness sake. Public speaking 101, Chuck. Okay. Well, that clears most of the things up. Well, would you like to hear from Senator Schumer on what he thinks about a potential Trump re-election in 2024? Second verse, same as the first.
Well, let me just say this. I think there are a good number of Republicans, McConnell included, who know deep in their hearts and deep in their minds what a danger he is to democracy and what a disaster he'd be as president. But none of them seem, or very few, a couple didn't show up, as you said, right. But very few, including McConnell. McConnell should have had the courage not to show up. He knows, I think he knows deep in his heart what Trump is like and what Trump would do.
Ooh, what would he do, Senator Schumer? How come they don't ever ask that question? He's going to do terrible things. It's too dangerous. We can't let him do it. How come nobody ever asked the follow-up, the logical follow-up question? Well, what is he going to do? Well, that would require the media, you know, actually acting like real media and actually doing their jobs and conducting real interviews rather than just platforming their preferred political party and just letting them go off for however long their segment lasts. One thing we know about Senator Schumer, he loves him some filibuster.
The bottom line is very simple. The ideologues in the Senate want to turn what the founding fathers called the cooling saucer of democracy into the rubber stamp of dictatorship. We will not let them. They want, because they can't get their way on every judge, to change the rules in midstream, to wash away 200 years of history. They want to make this country into a banana republic where if you don't get your way, you change the rules. Are we going to let them?
No! It'll be a doomsday for democracy if we do.
Except when he doesn't.
And as for the filibuster, I'm not busting my chops to become majority leader to do very little or nothing. We are going to get a whole lot done. And as I've said, everything is on the table.
Wait, no. I thought he really did like it. I thought he was all about the filibuster.
Now, as I've said repeatedly over the last week and a half, let us go no further down this road. I hope the Republican leader and I can, in the coming months, find a way to build a firewall around the legislative filibuster, which is the most important distinction between the Senate and the House. Without the 60-vote threshold for legislation, the Senate becomes a majoritarian institution like the House, much more subject to the winds of short-term electoral change. No senator would like to see this happen, so let's find a way to further protect the 60-vote rule for legislation.
Except when he doesn't.
Okay, let me answer both. First, Senator McConnell is always looking for a diversion. He knows how popular AARP is. He knows he and his whole caucus opposed it, and that the American people, even Republicans, we just surveyed in New York State, 55% of Republicans are for the AARP now that it's passed. So he's always looking for a diversion. As for the issue, we Democrats, all of us, believe we need big, bold change. As I've said before, we hope our Republican colleagues will work with us to produce that change. We will try to get them to work with us. But if not, we will put our heads together and figure out how to go, and everything is on the table.
He really doesn't like impeachments.
Gentlemen's recognized for 30 seconds.
I expect history will show that we've lowered the bar on impeachment so much. We have broken the seal on this extremely extreme penalty so cavalierly that it will be used as a routine tool to fight political battles. My fear is that when a Republican wins the White House, Democrats will demand payback.
Except when he does.
Best interest of our country and our Constitution to proceed with an impeachment inquiry. I strongly support Speaker Pelosi's decision.
And woe to those who disagree.
On something as important as impeachment, McConnell's resolution is nothing short of a national disgrace, and it will go down in history as one of the very dark days of the Senate.
But he really doesn't like it.
I think the impeachment inquiry is absurd. The American people want us to do something that will make their lives better, not go off on these chases and witch hunts.
I mean, who has time for impeachments?
We're going to try and resolve this issue as quickly as possible. Impeachment should never be used to settle policy disagreements.
Leadership. Yes. Does that mean that this is going to, there might be a debate about some sort of a framework first, at least hear from the managers? What do you think is
As I said, We're going to try to resolve this as quickly as possible. As I've said in the past, it's absurd, and there are no charges in the House complaint that rise to the level of impeachment.
Senator,
yes.
Does that mean dismissing it or tabling it?
As I said,
do you have the vote?
We're going to move forward and resolve this as quickly as possible. Once again, impeachment should never be used to settle policy disagreements.
Yeah, but sometimes he just can't resist.
The Senate should convict President Trump, remove him from the presidency, and disqualify him from holding future office. The guilt of the president on these charges is so obvious that here again, several Republican senators admit that the House has proved its case. So instead of maintaining the president's innocence, the president's counsel ultimately told the Senate that even if the president did what he was accused of, it's not impeachable. This has taken the form of an escalating series of Dershowitzian arguments, including, quote, abuse of power is not an impeachable offense, quote, the president can't be impeached for non-criminal conduct, but he also can't be indicted for criminal conduct. Quote, if a president believes his own reelection is essential to the nation, then a quid pro quo is not corrupt. These are the excuses of a child caught in a lie, each explanation more outlandish and desperate than the last.
Have you figured out where he stands on impeachment yet? Because I'm not even sure if he knows at this point. Well, at least he totally and absolutely and completely respects the independence of the judiciary and the separation of powers, right?
There's a large agenda of things that we have to do. And I'll tell you, one of the first things we do is get rid of that horrible Supreme Court decision on Roe and preserve women's reproductive rights.
Okay, abortion rights activists specifically wanted me to ask you, will you commit to getting rid of the filibuster to codify Roe v. Wade?
Look, again, I'll have to discuss that with my caucus. And obviously, I would like to see us get rid of Roe in any way we can, and we'll have to explore the best way to do it.
In case you forgot how flippant he is about the filibuster, depending on who's in power in the Senate, he threw an extra little nugget in there, just to remind you. So, yeah, not a big fan of the independent judiciary. Well, but he'd never endanger the lives of Supreme Court justices.
And they're taking away fundamental rights. I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
I'm going to talk for a second here. Chuck Schumer stood on the stairs of the Supreme Court and pointed at the Supreme Court building with Justices Gorsuch and Kavanaugh inside and threatened them by name. What happened shortly after that, after the Dobbs decision was leaked and eventually came out when it was actually released, protesters harassed these justices, as well as Justice Thomas, Chief Justice Roberts, Justice Alito, and Justice Coney Barrett for months, in some cases for over a year, at their homes, not in front of the Supreme Court where they work, at their homes, their residences, where their children live, where their children play. According to CNN, on June 8th, 2022, a would-be assassin showed up outside of Justice Kavanaugh's home with, quote, a pistol, extra ammunition, a tactical knife, and other gear, having looked up such terms as most effective place to stab someone and quietest semi-automatic rifle, end quote. This person, whose name I will not give any of my air to, had hoped to kill not one, not even two, but three justices that day, according to his own words. Go read his Discord conversations. They are beyond chilling. Chuck Schumer lit this fire. He encouraged it. He promoted it. And this kind of rhetoric would go on to endanger and almost end the life of our 45th and soon to be 47th president. Well, at least he respects the vital role of the U.S. House of Representatives.
Yesterday afternoon, to the surprise of virtually no one, Speaker Johnson's deeply flawed and highly partisan CR failed by a vote of 202 to 220. The no votes included Democrats, Republicans, fiscal hawks, conservative ideologues, and people in between. In other words, there was broad opposition to the Speaker's partisan maneuver. It's time the Speaker moves on. Sadly, time is not a luxury that Congress has right now. Today is September 19th. The government shutdown is September 30th. That's 11 days away. And instead of doing the bipartisan work everyone knows is required for avoiding a shutdown, the House Republican leadership has wasted two weeks, listening to Donald Trump's ridiculous claims on the campaign trail. Now that their efforts have failed, House Republicans don't seem to have any plan for actually keeping the government open. So the Senate will step in. Later today, I'll file cloture on a legislative vehicle that will enable us to prevent a Trump shutdown in the event that Speaker Johnson does not work with us in a bipartisan, bicameral manner.
Or not. Well, surely, as one of the top government officials in our country, he's taken the right position on illegal immigration, right?
The only way we're going to have a great future in America is if we welcome and embrace immigrants, the Dreamers, and all of them, because our ultimate goal is to help the Dreamers but get a path to citizenship for all 11 million or however many undocumented there are here.
However many, 11 million, however many there are, whatever, it doesn't matter. The only way we can have a great country is if we legalize all the illegals. That doesn't say much for his opinion on the American people. But he'd certainly never take to the Senate floor and undermine one of our strongest allies when they're under attack on multiple fronts from multiple terrorist groups, right? Right?
The fourth major obstacle to peace is Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who has all too frequently bowed to the demands of extremists like Ministers Smotrich and Ben-Gavir and the settlers in the West Bank. I have known Prime Minister Netanyahu for a very long time. While we have vehemently disagreed on many occasions, I will always respect his extraordinary bravery for Israel on the battlefield as a younger man. I believe in his heart he has his highest priority is the security of Israel. However, I also believe Prime Minister Netanyahu has lost his way by allowing his political survival to take the precedence over the best interests of Israel. He has put himself in coalition with far-right extremists like Minister Smotrich and Ben-Gavir, and as a result, he has been too willing to tolerate the civilian toll in Gaza, which is pushing support for Israel worldwide to historic lows. Israel cannot survive if it becomes a pariah. Prime Minister Netanyahu has also weakened Israel's political and moral fabric through his attempts to co-opt the judiciary. And he has shown zero interest in doing the courageous and visionary work required to pave the way for peace even before this present conflict. As a lifelong supporter of Israel, it has become clear to me the Netanyahu coalition no longer fits the needs of Israel after October 7th. The world has changed radically since then, and the Israeli people are being stifled right now by a governing vision that is stuck in the past. Hamas and the Palestinians who support and tolerate their evil ways, radical right-wing Israelis in government and society, President Abbas, Prime Minister Netanyahu. These are the four obstacles to peace.
Or maybe he would. Oh yeah, Well, then there was that time he spoke about another state like it was his own personal territory to conquer.
Now we take Georgia, and then we change the world.
Yeah!
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, Mr. Schumer? Now we take Georgia, and then we change America.
Just a senator from New York casually talking about taking Georgia. Or maybe we could explore that time he openly threatened to use the U.S. intelligence agencies against people he doesn't like.
But he's taking these shots, this antagonism, yep. This taunting to the intelligence community.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What do you think the intelligence community would do if they were motivated?
I don't know, but from what I am told, they are very upset with how he has treated them and talked about them.
Well, certainly he'd never overstate what happened on January 6th and call people that were never accused of insurrection, insurrectionists.
Before I begin, I just want to say that I saw Leader McCarthy's 11th hour opposition on the January 6th commission. This shows how difficult it is to negotiate with Republicans. If the Republican leaders are just going to throw their lead negotiators under the bus, why do they even participate in negotiations at all? We'll see what the House vote is like, but I want to be clear. I will put the January 6th commission legislation on the floor of the Senate for a vote, period. Republicans can let their constituents know, are they on the side of truth, or do they want to cover up for the insurrectionists and for Donald Trump?
Keep going with that, Senator. Just speak it into existence. Well, surely he'd never involve himself in a sycophantic love fest on The View with that three-ring circus of left-wing lunatics. Would he?
I was so disappointed. So many of the cabinet was the worst cabinet I've ever seen in the history of America. Wow. First, Donald Trump. Yeah. Donald Trump campaigned on cleaning up Wall Street and getting the special interests in swamp out of the cabinet.
Yeah.
We call his cabinet the swamp cabinet, billionaires and bankers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Totally against what he campaigned on. Some of these people, Donald Trump got up and said, I am not going to cut Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Two of his top cabinet nominees have made their career of cutting Medicare, Medicaid, and one of them Social Security. So he's totally deviating from what he said. I told him this. I said, you know, you campaigned, and just what you said, Whoopi, in a different way, you campaigned as a populist against both the Democratic and Republican establishments. And if you continue to do that, you'll have some successes. Mm-hmm. But if you do what you've been doing, just move to the hard, hard right, mm-hmm. way beyond what
fascist
most Republicans
right.
are for, mm-hmm. you're going to be a failure.
Yeah,
and that's what's going
to
happen.
But he's listening to Bannon.
That's the problem. I think that he thinks he did it his way and he won and he's not going to change very soon.
Right.
But I do think and hope and pray that a lot of the Republicans, they're mainstream people. I don't agree with them on the issues, but they're good people, mm-hmm. that they will feel they have no choice but to break with them.
I agree with you.
What John McCain said is so real.
Yeah,
that, you know, the press has always been a counter to people in power.
Yes.
What Donald Trump, none of us, every one of us gets criticized with the press, by the press. We don't like it, but it makes, probably keeps us better.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And when he totally just demeans them, and when he's wrong and then calls them fake news, that's trouble for the democracy.
Yes, Senator.
Didn't you know everyone gets criticized by the press? Oh, did you hear them get that? The fascist right. Did you hear him get that in there? It was a little in the background. I don't think she said it right into her microphone, but it's there. Go back and listen to it again.
Well, because he just listens to Steve Bannon.
Oh, Joy Behar and all her brilliance. Oh, God, the most insufferable. I don't know. Is it an hour? I don't even know how long The View is. However long it is, it's the most insufferable period of time on television today. And that is an incredibly high bar to reach. Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, all of them getting cut. Oh, you remember when absolutely none of that happened? Oh, yes, the press always holds accountable the people in power. as Chuck Schumer is sitting there getting a sponge bath from the entire cast of The View. And what Schumer file would be complete without his attempt to convince the American people in real time that no, they really don't know what the definition of grassroots is.
We've seen the Democratic Party swiftly coalesce behind Vice President Kamala Harris.
No, wait, time out. I have it on very good authority that it's both racist and misogynistic to call Kamala Harris Kamala. Well, unless you're Chuck Schumer, as you were.
When I spoke with her Sunday, she said she wanted the opportunity to win the nomination on her own and to do so from the grassroots up, not top down. We deeply respected that, Hakeem and I did. She said she would work to earn the support of our party, and boy, has she done so in quick order. Vice President Harris has done a truly impressive job securing the majority of delegates needed to win the Democratic Party's nomination to be our next president of the United States. The vast majority of my senators quickly and enthusiastically endorsed her. So now that the process has played out, from the grassroots bottom up, we are here today to throw our support behind Vice President Kamala Harris. I'm clapping. You don't have to. It's a happy day. What can I say?
Awkward. Didn't you know? In just 2 days, she secured 4,000 delegates. Who would have thought it ever could be possible? And last but not least, as a parting gift from our beloved, totally nonpartisan, totally down the middle Senate majority, soon to be minority leader, he'd really like if we could just all forget that any of that ever happened.
Now let me turn to my colleagues on the other side of the aisle. Another closely contested election now comes to an end. To my Republican colleagues, I offer a word of caution in good faith. Take care not to misread the will of the people, and do not abandon the need for bipartisanship. After winning an election, the temptation may be to go to the extreme. We've seen that happen over the decades, and it's consistently backfired on the party in power. So instead of going to the extremes, I remind my colleagues that this body is most effective when it's bipartisan. If we want in the next 4 years the Senate to be as productive as the last four, the only way that will happen is through bipartisan cooperation. Democrats will be ready to do what we have consistently done. Work with both sides when the opportunity arises. Democrats will never abandon our values, but neither will we reject an opportunity to move the ball forward to make people's lives better when we can. The question is now whether or not Republicans are willing to do the same. To my colleagues on the other side, once again, do not abandon bipartisanship. It's the best and most effective way to get things done. It was true in the last 4 years and will be true in the years to come.
We just want to play nice. I don't have the hammer anymore, so let's just get along. Can't we just all get along? Don't you see, guys? Bipartisanship is the way. Can't we just all get along? At least when I'm not in power. Can't we just do things together? Except when I'm the majority leader. I mean, it works so much better that way. I could have gone on for hours. This is why he's so dangerous. He's in an all-powerful position in a deep blue state where he will never, ever lose an election, and he knows it. There's no fear in that voice. There's no fear of ever losing an election. There's no fear of ever being called out for his otherworldly hypocrisy. There's no fear of the media demanding he explain his tendency to love the filibuster when the Republicans are in power, but his overt disdain for it when the Democrats are. This man represents everything that is wrong with our politics. Blatant double standards, hypocrisy of the highest order. A superiority complex that wouldn't fit in the Smithsonian. Lifelong bureaucrats, vile, open threats aimed at those who oppose him that encourage madmen to do what madmen do, plot to kill Supreme Court justices, and almost kill Donald Trump. Yes, I do blame him and all others like him for using language like that and using tactics like that. They have chosen their words and their tactics very carefully and on purpose. They knew they were risking these people's lives, and they didn't care. He didn't care, and he doesn't care. He's 73 years old, he's incredibly dangerous, and he's in an incredibly powerful position. He worked with Nancy Pelosi to create an almost mafia-like hierarchy in the U.S. Congress, treating it like their own personal crime syndicate, rather than a group of representatives elected by and answerable to the people. He's a living, breathing advertisement for term and age limits in Congress. That's on the Trump-Vance agenda, too. Term limits. And it's one thing that must get done in this next Congress. Thus concludes this episode of the Schumer Files. So what's next? We're going to have more deep dives, like I've said before, the Electoral College, abortion, our founding fathers. We're going to have so much more for you on that Oregon story, that school board that allowed a teacher under investigation for sexual misconduct with his students to continue to teach during the investigation. We're going to get into birth rates. We're going to get into education. We've got so many ideas here. I'm working on an interview, actually. This would be absolutely awesome if it came together, and I'm really hoping it does. I'm working on an interview with a Harris voter. I'm really hoping this works out. It would be very fun. It's somebody I know and like. We get along well. We could have a very, very fun, respectful discussion and debate. I'm going to keep working on this. I've got a couple people working on it. My people are talking to her people. I really hope this will work out, and that would be very shortly down the road if it does. So stay tuned for that. I really hope that works out. Yes, eventually we are going to get out of politics. It's just a very political time. I happened to start this up during election season, and then it's been a crazy post-election season. And pretty soon we're going to have inauguration season and then legislation season. And don't worry, we're going to branch out. But like I said, I'm only able to do this twice a week. And it almost took me all week to get back to it here because it's getting so crazy. Yes, we will branch out, but there's so much good stuff to talk about here. Please continue to humor me on this political run that we're on, but we will get out of this. I absolutely promise you. But there's just too much good stuff going on right now. Interesting stuff that we all need to know, that we all need to talk about. And I am so grateful. I am so thankful for each and every one of you. And I have gotten messages from some of you, even via third parties, with the kindest words, the most thoughtful reinforcement, the most encouraging things you could possibly say to me. They're getting back to me, believe me. And I don't have the words for how grateful I am. The time you take to listen to this, to type out messages responding to people that have shared this with you, they're getting back to me. And I can't thank you enough. I am so glad that this is reaching so many ears. And the positive reinforcement is really, it's beyond my wildest imagination. I am so indebted to all of you for continuing to listen, for continuing to click that download button. Please continue to subscribe and follow and share. Every single click helps. We are growing this thing faster than I ever, ever thought possible. And I cannot wait to see what comes next. We've got so much planned, and I know I keep saying that. It's really going to be a lot of fun. I am so, so grateful to all of you. I'm going to try to get one more of these done before the weekend is out, probably late on Sunday, and then we've all got Thanksgiving week coming up here. Maybe I'll do a Thanksgiving special. Rush always used to do that. He would always do a very touching story about the truth behind how Thanksgiving came to be, the first Thanksgiving. It was really, really touching. I made a point to listen to it every year. So maybe we'll do, in honor of him, maybe we'll do a version of that. towards the end of this weekend here. But we're going to wrap here. Thank you so much for your time. It really, really does mean the world to me. Keep the subscribing and the following and the sharing going. We are really on a roll here. We'll talk to you again soon. This has been Spin Sold Separately. I am JD. Don't be a jerk. Pecan is the best Thanksgiving pie. And we'll talk to you next time.